Jesus Christ our Lord. And there's one aspect of this concerning the fellowship of his Lord, of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the fellowship we're called into, that's extremely important. Did you ever wonder how anyone could be so stupid as to take a stone, huge stone, carve it into the shape of a man or an animal or a creature, and then worship it? Really seems stupid. But like most things that are stupid, there's usually something in our psyche or our physiological and psychological makeup that is the underlying cause for doing that. You know, if you do that, that statue can't speak, which means that you're free to worship it any way you want. And you get to decide what offerings you bring to it. You get to decide how many times a week or in a period of time you worship it. You get to decide everything, everything about how you're going to worship it. You get to decide if you're going to scream and holler and dance and jump around the statue, if you're going to cover it with flowers. You get to make up your own prayers. You do everything your own way, and there's that thing you worship. That's really the underlying reason for it. That's one of the reasons in early man worshiped the sun, moon, the stars, trees, plants, creatures. They couldn't talk to you and tell you how they wanted to be worshipped. You got to make your own choice. You got to make your own decision. You got to do it your way. This may seem strange to you, but I thoroughly believe it. There are other reasons, but one of the reasons we have so many different beliefs and so many different types of people assembled right now all over this country worshiping is because of what you see here. They have made their God, and they call him our God. They have made him in such a way that they worship him the way they want to worship him. But he's quite different from a stone or a tree or the sun or the moon. He tells us exactly how he wants to be worshiped. We're the worshipers, not the one worshiped. And the one worshiped is the one who determines how he wants us to worship. As I grew up, I went through all these different phases of watching all these different church groups, some with amusement, and some I just got a big kick out of watching and put on a demonstration. But it all boils down in the end to a simple thing. Are you going to worship God the way he told you to worship him? Are you going to make your own God and then fit the God of this Bible into the mold that you've chosen because it's more convenient for you? 1 Corinthians 1, 9, and 10. God is faithful, by whom you were called to the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. That's what this church is. It's a local, visible fellowship of his Son. And we're saved and then called into that fellowship, and we're supposed to worship him. And since he can talk, and since he is the only God, and isn't inanimate, he tells us how he wants to be worshiped. That's the reason you have so many churches. They don't want to worship the way God tells them, because it means you have to work into God's schedule. You don't work God into yours. And if you're worshiping an inanimate object, you can worship him anytime you want and work him into your busy schedule. And that's what a lot of people try to do with the only living true God. He says, now I beseech you, brethren, And he's making this pretty emphatic. He says, I beseech you, brethren. He said, I'm imploring you. By the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is a dramatic, emphatic plea to do this. That ye all speak the same thing. And that there be no divisions among you. But that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. I like blue. I don't like green. I don't like brown. I don't like black. I'm not too fond of pink. Now, some of you like those colors. That's not what this is talking about. I like this carpet. Some of you would rather have a nice, bright red one. That's not what that's talking about. When he says, I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, now this is what he is saying to the church, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. What's he talking about? In the way you worship God. And there's only one way that can happen. You have to want to understand the truth from his word. It has to be the most important thing in your life as far as worshiping God. It means that you have to decide what the Bible says so there won't be any divisions among you. So why are there so many church buildings in this town? We're doing this. We are doing this. You can go to one of these non-denominational churches or charismatic churches around here, and you're allowed to believe anything you want. You can believe you can lose your salvation. You can believe in sprinkling for baptism. You can believe anything you want. And there you are, sitting together, thinking you're worshiping God. And you're no more worshiping God than Moody's goose. Because God's not an inanimate object. And in order for this to happen, all of us that are in this fellowship, this local church, have to know the truth in this book concerning the way God wants to be worshiped. And you can't worship God with unscriptural baptism. And you can't worship God with open communion. And you can't worship God believing the church is made up of all believers. He won't accept it. The Bible's very clear on that. God is not the author of confusion. You can go to some Southern Baptist churches right now. You got people in there believe you can lose your salvation. And it doesn't bother the pastor. Just as long as they're attending and worshiping God. Brothers and sisters in Christ, I hope that we, though small we may be, have made a choice that we're going to worship God, and that the only way you can worship him is in truth. Acts 2:42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, didaskalos, teachings, and fellowship. I'm here in this church not because you pay me a salary. Not so much because you've called me pastor, as pastor. But I'm here because this church teaches and preaches the truth. And when we discover that we're doing something that isn't in the Bible, we try and stop it. You can't fellowship with God unless you're following the apostles' teachings, which are these New Testament writings that they wrote. And in breaking of bread, the Lord's Supper, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' teachings and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayers. We're all praying the same God. We're not praying to the God of Benny Hinn. Oh, Lord, heal this woman. We're not praying that way. We all pray to a God whom we know hears our prayers, that He will act on them, and that He will do what He thinks is best while considering what we want. That's what the Bible teaches. This church is based on truth. It's not based on confusion. I remember down here in the Assembly of God Church, they used to have a fellow down there that drove them crazy. He'd get up with a cowbell and run all the way around the pews and all the way around, ringing that bell just as loud as he could. You know, they let it go on. They didn't stop it. They said, well, the Spirit's leading him. That's not one of the Lord's churches, because God is not the author of confusion. And nothing like that ever appeared in local New Testament churches. America's society has come to look upon
a real progressive church
as being one that has a gigantic membership, possibly having as many as two services, where something is provided for everybody in the family for fleshly pleasure, in the hopes that there may be some spiritual growth come out of it, which is about like expecting a bull moose to turn into a frog. And they look at these huge edifices and magnificent structures and they say, now that's a real church. What in the world would they think of Jesus' church that he organized, of a bunch of rag-tailed fishermen that probably only bathed once a week, that traveled around with him and was ridiculed and laughed at as being uneducated? What would they consider that? Brothers and sisters in Christ, we have taken things, and they're no longer based on truth. And we don't worship God according to His instructions. We worship God on what makes us feel good. And that's what about 99% of the churches on the surface of this earth are based on. Jude 1 and 3. Now, if you're going to be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment, if there are not going to be any divisions among you, it's talking about spiritual divisions. It's talking about the way you worship God, because that's what you come to church for. Jude 1 and 3. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, he said, I was going to sit down and write you a nice epistle about salvation. But he said, it was needful for me, apparently the Spirit led him otherwise, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Do you know what a lot of people, and missionary Baptists, and some members of this church, when they hear this scripture, they say, there's some more of that doctrine. Doctrine is what teaches you how to worship God. And if the church isn't to worship God and to give glory to Him, then what's it here for?
Soul winning.
Well, yeah, it is. That's the first part of the Great Commission. But the soul winning will take care of itself to a large extent if the people are correctly worshiping God. And maybe some of the people that get saved will actually be saved. 1 Timothy 4:13. Why do you have all these false beliefs? Why is the Assembly of God so far off track? Why is the Catholic Church so far off track? Why is the Church of Christ so far off track? I might as well get everybody. Why is the Presbyterian Church so far off track? Very simple. The people in the church don't give attention to reading the Bible, to exhorting others and themselves to continue to read it, and to doctrine to what it teaches. The Bible is not that difficult to understand. But they take their leaders and they listen to what they tell them and they believe men rather than the Bible. Now, when you want to go to a church that makes you feel good and gives you an emotional high, and you walk out and just feel wonderful about yourself, it won't be this church. Because, brothers and sisters in Christ, we're here to worship God His way. You say, well, Brother Michael Murray, don't you feel good about all this? You have no idea how good I feel about it. Don't you have an emotional high? Yes. I have emotional highs all the time. How? By knowing that what we have done and what we have taught and what we are doing is according to God's word, and I know He's pleased because He told us to do it. That's why you have all these false churches. The people in them don't give attendance to reading the Bible, studying it. They don't exhort themselves and others to study the word, and they don't pay attention to doctrine. And a message like I'm preaching is just, well, here he goes again with another one of those old messages. But it's the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth that pleases God. Now, we can't agree on carpet color. We can't agree on roof color. We can't agree on the type of wedding dress. We can't agree on clothes. But by Kairaki, we had better agree on what God tells us is the right way to worship, because we're accountable as His children to do just that. And if you ever get uppity and decide you want to go somewhere else, you better seriously consider what you're leaving behind, because I guarantee you we try to teach and preach the truth. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing about salvation, about baptism, about the church, about the Lord's Supper. You have no idea what a diversity of belief there is in each one of these churches in town about everything. But the really terrifying thing is that in most cases, there is no diversity of belief because they don't know anything. They don't know anything about Jesus. I've seen it at funerals. I've seen them having no concept whatsoever of what has happened to their loved one, what is going to happen to him, and they are distraught, upset, in agony, and in pain. Brothers and sisters in Christ, it's all because they don't know anything. They are spiritually ignorant. Not stupid. Ignorant. By their own choice. God wants to be worshipped a certain way. And if you don't like the way He's worshipped, you need to go somewhere where you can get some nice fleshly emotional highs. 1 Timothy 3:14 and 15. So what's the problem? You ever go to a Pentecostal church? Sat there? Leanne was telling me about going to Pentecostal churches. It scares her to death. You ever go to Assembly of God church where they really get wound up? You ever go to one of these Presbyterian churches where they stand up there and talk to you about a social gospel or a Methodist church for 2 hours and sit there and exalt the praises of man? 1 Timothy 3:14, 15. You better thank God you know the truth. I thank God I know the truth, because I could just as well have been over in one of those churches right now getting some kind of an emotional fix. These things write I unto thee, Paul said, hoping to come unto thee shortly. So why did he write this to Timothy? But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Now notice, 1 Corinthians 14:40, let all things be done decently and in order. That's exactly what a church is supposed to be like. It doesn't mean you can't enjoy being there. It doesn't mean you can't have fun and talk to one another. It doesn't mean that you can't have a sense of an awareness of not frivolity, but of happy to be together. It doesn't mean you can't joke with one another. It doesn't mean you can't do that at all, that it's forbidden. But it does mean that when you come together to worship in spirit and in truth, it's not supposed to be turned into a beehive of activity where everybody's doing his own thing, thinking his own thoughts,
believing his own way, and that is the most ungodly mass of confusion you could ever possibly have, and God is not the author of confusion. I thank God that all things are done decently and in order here. That's why I'm here. When I came here, I have to confess, I was a missionary Baptist, had scriptural baptism, had all those wonderful things, but I just didn't really know a whole lot about what I'm preaching now. But I do now, because I know the Lord a whole lot better than I did when I first came here, and I know what he wants. It's all here. And when I discover something else he wants that I didn't know about, I'll find it right here. You better thank God that you're in a church that preaches and teaches the truth. You have no idea how little truth there is out there in the world and how spiritually ignorant most of these people are, and in missionary Baptist churches, how spiritually ignorant they are. 1 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. How can you behave yourself in the house of God correctly if you believe you can lose your salvation? How can you behave yourself in the house of God if you sit there believing that sprinkling is okay for baptism? How can you behave yourself properly in the Word of God if you believe the church is universal and invisible? Rightly dividing the word of truth. If you're not walking in truth, you're not worshiping in truth. The Lord is truth. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. 1 John 1:4. I rejoice greatly that I find my children with a Mormon tabernacle and choir, and a beautiful new building, a progressive nature and spirit, and an expanding ministry. No, that's not what he said. I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth as we have received the commandment from the Father. Did it ever strike you as being slightly peculiar that there is absolutely no mention whatsoever of the membership number of any church except the one that had about 120 that Jesus had organized during his earthly ministry? Did it ever strike you as peculiar that Paul never wrote a letter to any of these churches commending them on their tremendous growth in number? What did he always commend them for? Growing spiritually. What is growing spiritually? Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. You can't walk in truth if you don't know what the truth is. And you don't know what the truth is unless it's based on this book. And if you go down there and let somebody put a wafer on your tongue and drink some wine for you, or someone stand up there in a Lutheran church with beautiful new robes on and say, the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face to shine upon you and give you peace, and you sit there and just get a good feeling inside because this just feels holy, 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 my friend, you are no more worshiping God than Moody's goose. You might as well go out and build a statue and start worshiping it just like you want to worship it, because that's precisely what these false religions are doing, and there are more of them than there are of us. 1 John 1:3-4. For I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. He didn't say, I rejoice greatly to see that you had 487 additions this year, 223 baptisms, and you're on fire for the Lord, and you had a tremendous income, and your treasure is looking great. He said, for I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in truth. I have no greater joy than to hear my children walk in truth. Well, you've got to study his word to walk in truth. You can't know what it is except by this book. You've got men standing in pulpits tonight telling lies to these people because they're telling them what they want to hear. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means. And the people love to have it so. It's dawned on me over the years I've been here, 29, how ungrateful I am, what ingratitude I have for what God has done for me and for this church. He's taught me truth. He's taught me what the church really is.
He's taught me what's important in life, and he's taught me what it means unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. That's the most precious and expensive thing I have ever received from God in my entire life. And yet I see members of this church that don't seem to have any gratitude whatsoever for the truth that's presented here. It's a place to come, a place to meet your check off on your block, a place to work God in your busy schedule, when it ought to be a place that you come to learn about God, and you ought to be learning about him at home also. John 4:24. And I thank God he put this in there. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Well, it's true, you've got some people sitting in buildings that are saved, that believe in a universal church, that believe in believer's baptism, that believe you can lose your salvation, and I suppose there's even some of them that are saved. And it's true that many of them have the Spirit, but they're not worshiping God because it must be in truth. God won't accept any other kind of worship. How do I know here in this church right now God is receiving our worship? It's because we know the truth. And it's because of this. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, there be no divisions among you. If we all believe what this teaches about salvation, secure the believer, baptism by immersion by the authority of the local church, the Lord's Supper is a closed orange to the church is local and visible. If we all believe that because this Bible teaches it, there are no divisions among us, and we are perfectly joined in the same mind, and this book is the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. Today this is looked upon as some old fuddy-duddy sort of thing. And, you know, we're just not progressive. We're just not out there doing what we should. Romans 8:14-16. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Do you know what most of the churches right now that are meeting in this town and the ones that are going to meet on Saturday believe? That you can lose your salvation. That's not the truth. That's a lie. So are they worshiping God? No. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, the fear of condemnation of God, to go back under it. But ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father, Abba, Father. Do I get on spiritual highs? Yes. Right now inside me, there is an awareness that is not manufactured that makes me thankful to the depths of my soul. Abba, Abba, thank you, Father. Because I know he will never leave me. He will never forsake me. He indwells me forever. And he will always be my Savior and my Lord and my God. You know, some of you all have had that for so long, you don't appreciate it anymore. And yet most of the people meeting right now in this town, those who meet on Sunday, they are spiritually ignorant of that fact. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we're the children of God. He testifies that in my heart. You say, well, did you get a direct revelation? Yeah, he wrote this book. And he testifies from this book to my heart. And I know it's the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. 1 John 5:11-13. If you can't get secured the believer right, how can you possibly say you're worshiping God? Some of you, I'm sure, at times, may have wondered why we don't go down and participate in the Easter services with the Methodists and the Presbyterians and the Baptists and all these other churches. And you say, well, what's wrong with us? I'm not going down there and assemble with a bunch of people that aren't worshiping God. You say, well, some of my kinfolks go down there. Well, some of your kinfolks are wrong. Now, you're not going to see me mixing in with that bunch to worship God. You say, well, don't you like them? Oh, yeah, I like a lot of them. You say, would you be nice to them, and could they be your friend? Yeah. But not to worship God. Now, if somebody wants to come down here and be among us as we worship God and watch the way we worship, more power to them, and I'm all for it. But don't expect me to mix in with this ministerial alliance
and to go to these sunrise services with these bunch of people that are spiritually ignorant and are trying to worship God. They may have the spirit, but they don't have the truth, and you must have both. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. I believe that. Do you know most of the people in this town don't? He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you, that you may believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. That's truth. Tell me how it would be possible to sit in a church with a bunch of people that believe they could lose their salvation, and by any stretch of the biblical imagination, believe you were worshiping God. Now, some of you do what you want to do, and you go where you want to do, and you do all these other little things. That's between you and God. But don't come to me and try to get me to justify what you're doing. Just don't tell me about it. Tell God about it. Because he's the one you're supposed to be worshiping. Brother Charles Trusty, Sr., would you dismiss him?